The Ira Kaufman Podcast, as always, is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. General Manager Brian Danahy at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. He knows you've been thinking about moving up to Cadillac luxury, and if so, now's the time during the Tournament of Savings at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Right now, get move-up sales event savings on a 2019 XT5 crossover. Drive for only $339 a month at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorsecadillactampa.com. That's edmorsecadillactampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. The offer expires at the end of this month. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, they are right there on Causeway Boulevard. Total savings up to $11,000 on all remaining 2018 Cadillac models. They are all on clearance at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Their website, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. They have their own tournament of savings as well, so get over there. We are pleased to bring you the podcast today, and all of Ira's work is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Let's get to the star of the show. Here's the Sage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is, Bucks fans. Welcome to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the one and only, the King of Newport, Richie, the Custodian of Canton, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the one and only Ira Kaufman. Ira, how are you this evening?
Well, I'm a little depressed, Lee, because it's tax season. When I worked for the Tribune for 25 years, I always made a nice little chunk of change, you know, when I went in there. The last couple of years, not so much. Mostly because I take a lot of the money up front, and then you got to pay the piper. And of course, I lost my benefits on May 3rd, 2016. Oh, not that I remember that date, Lee.
A dark day in the annals of history.
200 people went to work on May 3rd, and on May 4th, they were out of work. That's a tough day. So that was the hard part, losing your benefits at my age. You know, I'm not 102 like Isbitz tries to claim I am. But this is a Buck podcast, Lee. We're going to break down the Bucks a little bit. I want to say up front, Lee, a week from now, the NFL owners are going to be gathering at the Arizona Biltmore. They absolutely love that place. And if you've been there, which I've been about five times, you can see how you fall in love with it.
Is that where the other half resides?
Yeah, these owners are not staying at Motel 6, you know, in Scottsdale.
And, no Hampton Inn?
No Hampton Inn. So I think normal schedule is Joel Glazer talks maybe on a Tuesday, and Bruce Arians has a 45-minute breakfast, I think, on Wednesday, which is the final day of the meetings. Now, we're going to talk more, Lee, about this maybe next week, but the competition committee, to me, is in the crosshairs. They're in the crosshairs. They're meeting this week. They usually meet, Lee, in Naples. That's where they usually meet. And Rich McKay's out there with his, you know, golf clubs and his sheets of paper. And I don't know what's more important, the data or the 7-iron. That's a tough one. But, Jeff Fisher used to be out there every year and he used to get in 18 holes. Lee, you know, you've heard me say it on this podcast. And not just from a Buck perspective. I'm talking from a league perspective. You can go too far the other way, Lee, in trying to protect players. You've taken a much of the risk. Too much of the risk out of throwing the football.
Yeah.
I think you've gone a little bit too far. Nobody can play pass defense in this league, with few exceptions. Cornerbacks don't turn around. They can't hit anybody. You can't smack the quarterback around. I think something's got to be done. But, Lee, scoring goes up every year, and they like it. They like it because they think fans like it, and to a degree, fans do like it. But Arians is going to talk now on Monday of this week, Lee. Arians was out at the Valspar, celebrity, you know, on Monday. Allstott was out there. Rondé, you know, who's a damn good golfer.
Yeah.
So he talked to Catherine Smith, one of our favorites. I worked with Catherine a long time on the Tribune. Now she's a star at Spectrum Sports, Bay News 9. She's doing very well. They like her.
Well, I thought you were going to talk about Olivia Stacey. That's a star in your eyes.
Well, they like her, too. They like her, too. And I worked with her. I did podcasts with her.
Yeah, it was a great podcast.
So Catherine went out there Monday, and she tracked down Arians. He made 2 points, above all. One, my golf game stinks. So he's honest about it. And he hasn't had a chance to play very much. You know, but when I went up to his office a couple of months ago, his bag was right there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right next to his, NFC West title trophy.
Within arm's length?
Yeah, within arm's length. So he probably picks up that putter and swings it in the office. His other point was he's okay with the way free agency has gone, although he used the word quiet. It's been a little quiet. Mm-hmm. Well, Lee, you don't have money to spend. It's going to be quiet. As far as being productive, first of all, what else is Arians going to say? But to be fair, Lee, I think Light's made some decent picks. Considering how cash-strapped he's been, I think the linebacker from Denver, I think that could end up being a good pick.
He's bargain shopping. He didn't have any choice. He's bargain shopping.
Yeah, he's at the dollar store, right?
Yeah, he hopes he finds a gem, or he's like these guys that rummage through these yard sales. He's hoping to find a Picasso among the dogs playing poker.
Well, Lee, plan A hasn't worked, where you spend like a drunken sailor.
True. Frankly,
and I think Raider fans are going to find that out, because they're going crazy.
Quick question. Who is the best free agent pickup the Bucks ever had? I have an idea. That he was a big-name free agent, the Bucks signed him, and he produced.
Could it have been Hardy Nickerson?
Possibly. I wouldn't think Hardy Nickerson. That's a good choice.
That's a good one. Brad Johnson?
There's another one. Okay, why they're in the Sage of Tampa Bay.
What do you got, baby?
Vincent Jackson.
You know what? Not bad.
Vincent Jackson, but that's a good one, Brad Johnson. That's why we have you on your podcast. Now, you were talking about Bruce Arians here a second ago. You said he might swing his putter once in a while when he's got some free time in his office. That may not be a good thing. Because if
you can swing your putter, or you can watch tape of Alex Kapp. Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to swing my putter, but you know what? If I'm watching some of the tape of the running game, I'd be swinging that putter at something else. I mean, that could be harmful to people here. I mean,
Lee, you got your finger on something. You don't even know how close you are to making this whole podcast, because you know that's a pet peeve of mine, this damn running game. Oh. And I don't know who to blame. You blame the running. You blame Doug Martin for a year and a half.
He's gone.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And he's gone.
Yeah.
And they didn't run very well last year.
But by the way, is he still looking for work?
As far as I'm concerned, he's coming back to the Raiders.
He was
not horrible in 2018. Not horrible.
Wasn't horrible, but you certainly not enough to be a go-to guy.
We see our man Donald Penn was jettisoned.
Yeah, that's a good subject, because had the Bucks not re-signed Donovan Smith, you would think he'd be in prime position to come back. Perhaps his play has fallen off that bad.
Now, he had not been released at that time.
Correct.
At that time.
Correct. He had been released, 4 days into free agency, roughly? Over the weekend he was released, if I remember correctly.
And then very durable guy. Very durable.
Yeah, he was. Up until 2 years ago, it was the first time he got hurt.
Yeah.
He was, 36? Obviously, when you don't miss a start for years, that's Donovan Smith's greatest attribute.
I always liked the swagger Penn brought to the position.
And this is
he was confident in himself.
Yes. And this is why, like you said, I love Donald Penn. But this is why, part of the reason, I wouldn't say fully, but this is part of the reason, I'm just numb to people screaming about the offensive line. I remember Donald Penn gave up a couple sacks to Robert Quinn at St. Louis when they were St. Louis Rams.
Quinn had a huge year that year.
A huge year and a monster game. Well, during that game, more than a few times, I saw Donald Penn manhandle Quinn. Including one time, he flipped him up in the air. But two times, Quinn got the best of Penn. I had to shut Twitter off. It was a meltdown. Bucks fans,
get rid of him.
And once they got rid of him, they're screaming for him back. And I'm not saying a diatribe against fans in any way. And I've said this before. Phil Sims, not the former Bucks quarterback, but the former Giants quarterback, he said there's two things when he goes on the road every week to do broadcasts. There are two things he will hear. You can bank on two things he'll hear the next morning on local sports radio. One, play calling. Two, the offensive line. Is that it's one or the other. And so that's why I'm just numb to the people screaming about offensive line. And Donald Penn is one of those reasons. People, they couldn't wait to get rid of him once he was gone. Like, oh, what'd you do?
I wouldn't be surprised if Penn lands somewhere. I think he will.
I agree. I think he's still got something left
in the tank. I think Houston's looking at him a little bit, I thought I saw.
Yeah, and they could use it. Because if Houston needs anything, it's an offensive line. And they're desperate.
And you got to protect that franchise quarterback.
Sure do. And he's getting pounded on. And you don't want him to turn into the next Cam Newton. Newton's starting to see the effects of getting beat up.
He was really beat up last year.
And I'll never forget when they needed the Hail Mary play to beat the Bucks at home past year. They pulled him.
I
was shocked.
I don't think Newton should have played that second game against the Bucks. I don't think he should have even
not
been playing. I don't think he could have thrown a ball more than 25 yards.
Internally, you wonder how much flack Ron Rivera is getting about that.
Yeah, they were in free fall at the time.
Yeah.
They started 6-2.
They looked dominant.
Everybody had them in the playoffs. Everybody.
Well, the way they pounded, just ran up and down the field on the Bucks at will. Here's the holy cow, this team's gone. This is a Super Bowl contender, and they fell off the map.
And New Orleans just, after stumbling against the Bucks in week one, New Orleans just put the Jets on. And
they sure
zoomed
did.
Right past Carolina. Lee, none of the NFC South teams have hit a lot of home runs in free agency. As a matter of fact, the Saints, their center just retired, and he's a good one.
Max Unger.
Max Unger, good player. And they lost Mark Ingram, who Isbitz really wanted the Bucks to be interested in. I think he signed for $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Isbitz thought he'd be a nice 1-2 punch with Peyton Barber. I'm not sure he's wrong. I still think the Bucks need another running back.
Yeah, and they may address that in the draft. And, you know, I'm hearing stuff. It's not very complimentary. And Steve was the first one to write this, so Steve gets credit. And by the way, Steve Isbitz, the other Joe Bucks fan, he's unable to meet us today, unable to do the podcast, so you're stuck with me. I know a lot of people just ran into a mailbox when they heard that. You wonder, things I'm hearing is that, and Steve's the first one to write this, that rookie running backs are not Dirk Cutter's forte. And I'm hearing stuff coming from reliable people that maybe the Bucks gave up on Ronald Jones a little early.
You see a little light at the end of the tunnel for Ronald Jones, Lee, with a new staff? Do you see it? I don't think he's ever going to be a pass catcher out of the mouth. It's a tall order.
It
doesn't come natural fast.
Yeah, we're hearing through the grapevine that even people at USC knew that he wasn't much of a pass catcher. Well, that's okay.
If he can average 4.5 yards a carry,
sure.
I'll live with it.
Sure, but it begs the question. If that's true, that people at USC knew he couldn't catch, why didn't the Bucks? Did they test him out? I mean, there are starting to be some questions. You know I love Jason Light. So this is not a slam at Jason Light. I guess technically it is, because at the end of the day, he's got final say of the draft picks. But I'm starting to wonder, are there evaluations that far off? Iowa was running backs.
Well, Lee, I'm
guys
not sure.
Can't read playbooks.
I'm not sure they were under a tremendous illusion about Jones's pass catching abilities, Lee. He's supposed to be a home run hitter, so they were looking maybe for 5, 6, 7, 20-yard runs, maybe a couple of 40-yard runs, which you don't expect from Peyton Barber, and it's been sorely missing around here. No explosive plays in the run game. Basically zero.
Yeah.
And other teams, get 5 or 10. You know, a year.
Here or there, Luke, yeah.
Yeah, here or there. And that's yards in a chunk. Mm-hmm. That really helps you.
Yes.
You know, instead of grinding out those 12-play drives.
Your quarterback doesn't get beat up in those plays.
And with the Bucks, they're going to commit an offensive holding penalty or a false start, And so that's why teams try to make you go 80 yards in 14. Mm-hmm. They figure you're going to screw up in 14th place. That's the philosophy. It's a pretty good philosophy. So the problem was, first of all, Jones didn't get much of a chance last year, let's be honest. He didn't get a large sample size.
No.
And part of that was he wasn't picking up the playbook very well. He wasn't.
That's another thing. I'm just starting to wonder if the evaluation of running backs, every team's got their test model, for lack of a better term. I'm struggling for a certain word here, a template. Is their template wrong? Because that's two running backs in a row they brought in that they drafted, Snoop Dogg McPlaybook and Ronald Jones that apparently had issues learning the playbook. Well, what are they giving?
Maybe the playbook's too complex over there.
Well, I'm starting to wonder that, you have students in high school, literacy tests. I'm wondering if they're giving these running backs illiteracy tests. I mean, there's something awry here that they keep year after year after year after year striking out on running backs. I'm starting to wonder if their template of what they base their criteria on for running backs is askew. I just wonder.
All I know is, Lee, if it's a huge if, but if they could go to the middle of the pack in running the ball.
No kidding.
I'm not asking you to be the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. I'm not looking for Alvin Kamara, but look what New England did. Lee, that's a perfect example. You can't name their offensive lineman. Sony Michel's
Brown,
a good back.
It, yeah.
He's not Ezekiel Elliott. Not. Lee, if they could just get to the middle of the pack, that would have a huge impact on Winston's effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Play action doesn't work if they don't respect your running game. Look at New Orleans. They had a terrible running game for 3 years before Kamara came around and Ingram was a slow starter in those first couple of years. He didn't show that much. They went 7-9 three straight years.
Yes.
Brees didn't have a lot of help. Defense wasn't very good. As soon as Kamara came along, now Ingram's better. Now, how the hell are you going to stop Brees? It's 2nd and 5 all the time. And so he does what he wants. And instead of 3rd and 8, it's 3rd and 2. It makes a huge difference.
Well, you know what? And then you bring up how do you stop Drew Brees. It seems like the only way you can stop Brees, there has to be a major accident. You think about it. Against what they call it, the Purple Rain or whatever. The Minnesota playoff game. That was an accident.
And the guy never misses a game.
He never misses a game, but that was the playoff game. That was an accident that Minnesota completed that pass and
yes,
won the game.
It was a tremendous comeback by Brees. I felt really
Thank
bad
you.
For him in that game.
And then last year, it was that atrocious call
Unbelievable.
Yeah, which was an accident. So the only way you can beat Breeze is a big accident.
They just took off after that week one loss to the Bucks. Boy, did they take off.
They threw it in overdrive, did they not?
They really did. Uh-huh. They really did. I'm still smarting about the Chiefs losing D Ford, and you're smarting about the Bucks not picking up D Ford.
I know.
Now, he came with a hefty price tag, Lee.
A second-round pick for what? Well,
but he's making money.
Obviously, the Bucks. I hate to say this, but I think this is JPP's last season. The way and no one wants JPP on this team more than me. Love that was one of the smartest pickups the Bucks ever made. Kudos to Jason Light. And not only have they gotten production out of him, but he's a great locker room guy. I mean, he was a godsend. Even though it didn't show too much because it's a horrible defense, he was a godsend. But Winston's salary, and I've said this before, I firmly believe he's going to be franchised next year. Only because of that new CBA. Now, if all of a sudden the NFLPA and the NFL owners decide to renew the CBA before Winston's contract expires, all bets are off what happens. I really firmly believe he's franchised. Well, if you're going to franchise him, guess what? You got to find some room on that salary cap. Bye-bye, JPP. So that's why I was thinking you'd get D Ford, and then with that number five pick, you get the defensive tackle. Hopefully the guy out of Alabama. Your defensive line's set for years. Apparently people at One Buck Place have other ideas. Now, speaking of defense and free agency, the Bucks seem to be bringing everybody, any warm body in at safety. They brought this guy in from the Packers. The Packers fans are pounding their lining kugels because the guy's gone.
They just brought in horrible. A guy named Bryce, a safety named Bryce.
And then the Packers fans were like, thank God you took him off our hands. And then they were going to bring in, they did bring in this guy from Indianapolis who wound up staying with Indianapolis, who can't stay healthy. What does that tell you, Ira? They're bringing in any warm body of a safety.
You know what also might be a little tellingly, I don't want to overstate it, but Bo Allen was basically a starter. Not Bo Allen, but Vinnie Curry was basically a starter. When he wasn't injured, he was a starter. Anybody want Vinnie Curry?
Yeah, he's still out there.
He's out there, Lee. If they cut Will Golston loose, he could be out there for a while, too. Lee, now I want to ask you a question, young man. Our listeners need to know this. You just spent a couple of days in the city of sin, the city of lost wages, so to speak.
There you go.
Lee, you love it out there. You absolutely love it. You love the weather. You love the vibe. Now, Lee, you were in at least one sports book, if not more, but you were in Westgate. I think they got a guy named Jay Cornegay. He's the guy over there.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
And he's a well-known odds maker. Knows his stuff. I've quoted him many times in the Tribune.
Oh, no kidding.
Going into a Bucs season about what do you think about the Bucs. And he's very sharp. Well, anyway, Lee, give our podcast listeners a little sense of you looked at the board, you looked at over-under. First of all, what are the Bucs listed as of now over-under for 2019 wins?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I don't know because I wasn't there to bet on the Bucs. I was there to bet on your San Francisco Giants.
And the number was 73.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not a number to get you into the World Series.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's 6.5 or something. Like,
I usually do the football over-and-unders when I go out there in the summertime.
Did you see anybody in a Buck jersey?
No, but I did talk to quite a few people that were interested in the Bucs. One of them, I don't know if he listens to this podcast, his name's Robert. He's an executive with MGM Resorts. He works at the Mirage, and he made sure that...
Is this the guy that gets your free drinks?
Yeah, I got to compliment him. He's a great guy. He got me a couple of free drinks while he peppered me with questions about the Bucs for about an hour.
Why is this guy a Bucs fan?
Well, he used to work and live in Tampa, and now he works and lives out in Vegas.
So you just saw him this week?
Yeah, so I always make a point to say hi because he's a loyal listener, or loyal reader. I assume he listens to this podcast.
Did he get your free Riesling? Did you get a Riesling out of
him? A little higher up the food chain, yeah.
All right. And, so what'd you tell him? He asked you about Arians?
Yeah. We're all in a wait and see. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what kind of defense they're going to run. As far as what kind of defense Arians and Todd Bowles are going to use, you know, Bowles, obviously, the first question at his press conference some time ago, where are you going to run? Because all half my career I've had a 4-3. I always revert to Pat Kerwin. You know Pat Kerwin. He's
solid,
good. He's a friend
solid.
Of yours. Former Buck Scout, former Giant, or he's going to be Jets pro player.
Personnel worked for Al Davis a little bit, maybe?
I don't know if he worked for Al Davis. I know he worked for Parcells. Yeah, Kerwin said, don't get caught up in scheme. And specifically once he was talking about the Jets. And he said, when he's watching film, he goes, but they call a 3-4? This is a direct quote from Kerwin. Isn't what I call a 3-4. It's more like a 4-3. He goes, if you stop the tape right at the point of the snap of the ball, these guys are four down linemen. So he said, don't get caught up in scheme. And I've taken that advice. A lot of our readers at JoeBucksFan.com, Buck's going to do this because of a 3-4. I'm not so quick to go there because I just refer to what Pat Kerwin said. Don't get hung up on scheme. So I think it's going to be more of a hybrid than anything else.
Did this Robert guy look encouraged at all, optimistic at all about the Buccaneers?
Hopeful. But he takes a lot of flack from all his buddies because some guys are Bears fans, and some guys are Raiders fans, and some guys, you know, the gamut. You know, they covers the gamut.
Was he okay with Cutter getting the axe?
Yes.
Yeah,
he was okay with Cutter getting the axe, and obviously he's hopeful that Arians can turn things around. He's like a lot of Bucs fans. They're down in the dumps. You know, what else can go wrong? That's kind of where they're at. What else can go wrong? I've gotten a lot of questions, not just from Robert, but other people. You know, you were talking about running backs. Like, why don't the Bucs use play action more with Winston? He'll help Winston out. You can't use it if you don't have a rushing attack.
Well, I think one valid criticism, Lee, is, and this is a pet peeve of both of us, the screen pass was very, very effective in 2015, usually to Charles Sims, your guy. Now, part of that could be because they had a good running game that year. It's the last time they had a good running game. But Cutter was very adept at when to call the screen and the timing on the... It's a timing play, and the Bucs did it well. Where has that play gone?
Well, you know what?
Some teams use it very, very effectively.
I hate to say...
Especially when you're getting barraged on the pass rush.
I hate to say it, but I think I know where it went. I hate to say it because I thought this guy was one of the most inept coaches the Bucs ever had. I think it went to Champaign, Illinois with Lovie Smith. Because Lovie, and Cutter even said it when he was offensive coordinator, Lovie wants to run the ball. Well, when Cutter took over, that mandate was gone. And I think that's where your running game went. Cutter wanted to throw the ball. Munkin wanted to throw the ball. And when Lovie was here, no, we're going to run it. We're going to establish the run. We're going to run the ball. I got to be fair. As much as I don't like the guy, to me that was the difference. I mean, what else could it be? What changed when the running game went goodbye? What changed? The head coach. That's the only thing I could think of. That's the only thing. The personnel was the same. Doug Martin was there. Charles Sims was there. Winston was there. So what changed? The coach. That's what changed.
Now, Lee, Isbitz and I, the other night, we got into this a little bit. I got to get your impressions on this. Isbitz is a classic because when I filed my Monday column, Isbitz goes, "You're writing about a backup quarterback, Kaufman? Come on, what the hell you doing?"
But that will get views. People like that stuff.
So, but my point was, look,
you have a pulse of the fan.
I have nothing against Ryan Griffin. I have nothing against him. But the facts are the facts, Lee. He's never thrown a ball in a game that counts.
Mm-hmm.
You can't argue that. Mm-hmm. Stick to the facts. So, I think it's risky, and maybe an unnecessary risk, if he's your only other quarterback and he's your backup to Winston. And Winston tweaks an ankle and goes down for a couple of games. Do you really want to rely on a guy with absolutely no track record? Now look, some people say if you lose your quarterback, starting quarterback, you're dead in the water anyway.
I'm sort of like that, but there's
all
a big
right,
but
what
coming.
If you lose him for a game or two? You know, you don't want to take, you don't want to be resigned to 0-2. Fitzpatrick was a good backup. I agree that he shouldn't come back, but he was a good backup, mm-hmm. as evidenced by the first 2 weeks of the year.
And then, of course, the real Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Some of the guys I mentioned, Lee, in terms of veterans, since Monday, I think A.J. McCarron's already been signed. I threw Mike Glennon out there. You're a Mike Glennon fan. You like the kid.
More so than Steve.
You know,
I like him personally.
I think he's an adequate backup. I think he's a
possibly.
Backup.
Possibly.
Surely he doesn't think he can be a starter in this league anymore, does he, Lee?
Well, the one thing I found out since I started covering
this
the Bucs.
This kid was drafted in 2013.
I know, but I've learned one thing. Covering the NFL the last 10 years, especially the last few years. One thing I've come to expect, never underestimate egos. And there's very few guys in the NFL that lack for confidence.
That holds true for sports writers, too, Lee.
Unfortunately.
And executives. And executives.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, yes, executives. You know, I've had coaches that can't get a sniff in the NFL after their one and only try. Well, second only try, I should say. I'm not going to give away the name. But I've had a guy look me right in the eye. I know I can do this. I know I can do that. But he never proved it. And bye-bye, he went. And then he's still looking for trying to get back to where he was in the NFL.
Do you think Griffin will be the lone backup? And are you okay with that?
I don't know if I'm okay with it or not. But I know what you're talking about. And the reason why I said there's a big but coming. I'm okay with the philosophy that if you lose your backup, you're toast anyway. But, and here's the huge but. One of the rare times that has worked in the NFL, of course, everybody points to Nick Foles, But one of the rare times that has worked, where a backup actually got his team to the playoffs, again, I'm not talking about Nick Foles, the guy who coached the team was Bruce Arians. Remember when Palmer got beat up? He was down to his third string quarterback and they were in the playoffs. And they made a good run. They didn't embarrass themselves. And so that, you know, and then who's coaching the Bucks now? Bruce Arians.
I did a little research.
I want to say Matt Stover, but I know he's the kicker.
You might be thinking of Drew Stanton.
Yeah, Michigan State quarterback, yeah.
He was with him all 5 years in Arizona. Lee, all 5 years that Arians was in Arizona with Carson Palmer, he always had a veteran backup. He didn't have a young backup. Mm-hmm. He had a veteran backup. And it was Drew Stanton. And then the last year, they added Blaine Gabbert. And they had a three-headed monster.
Monster's a perfect word.
This would
Gabbert, you have Bradford, you have Mike Glenn. That monster, that would be a perfect...
This would be new territory for Arians.
That would be a horror show right out of Japan, you know, Godzilla movies.
Wasn't Raymond Burr in Godzilla? I think Raymond Burr was.
Here we go.
Ironside. Lee, I always drop a little culture in here.
A little Hollywood culture. Raymond Burr.
So, Lee, this would be new territory. And here's one other wrinkle to it, you know, and I think it's important. Bruce Arians ain't never seen Ryan Griffin throw a football. He's never seen him
live.
Unless it's a tape of a preseason game, and we're not
going to... Well, they take practices. He's seen practice tape.
Yeah, but
it's not
live.
The same thing,
not
sure.
We'll see. You know, Griffin will get a shot in training camp. Mm-hmm. But I think Isbitz thinks there'll be a veteran there to provide a little competition. I think he's right, too.
So,
does it bother you in the slightest that they've kind of made the decision that, hey... Whatever backup we have to Winston, the guy basically can't be a real challenger to Winston. He can't feel threatened. Anything about that make you feel queasy?
Uncomfortable,
Or you understand it?
I'm not quite nauseous yet. When we talk about the running attack, it gets me nauseous. Our lack of sacks outside of someone from JP, that gets me nauseous. But what you said is, you basically took words out of my mouth. Well, I was going to ask you. He's already said, he being Arians, has already said, I don't want Jameis looking over his shoulder. Is he going to go to the nth degree, overboard, to make sure that doesn't happen, and only have Ryan Griffin?
Yes.
That
could happen.
Going overboard to make sure that Jameis is not looking over his shoulder. Relying on a guy, like you said, has never taken a snap in a regular season game.
Lee, even though they say football is the ultimate team game, and that, by the way, is why the Pro Football Hall of Fame means so much to these players, because I used to talk to Brooks about it. You know, Brooks was the ultimate team guy. Ultimate. 14 years with the Bucks.
Yeah.
And then when it came his turn to be eligible for the Hall in the class of 2014, everything changed for Derrick Brooks at that moment, because now it's about Derrick Brooks. Now it's not about Shelton Quarles and Sapp helping him up front with Simeon.
Mm-hmm.
This is you, 55, your legacy. That's a big change for him.
Yeah, it is.
And he admitted, he said, I've been team all my life, and now it's about Derrick Brooks. It's different. So let me ask you this. Even within that ultimate team game, Lee, if and I don't think this is outlandish, and I don't think you do either, if Arians gets the job done with number three, just number three, better decisions, more poise in the pocket, fewer turnovers, including fumbles, in and of itself, how big an impact could that Winston getting to the next level have on the Buccaneer record in 2019? Just the education of Jameis Winston.
That should be significant. Should be. If your quarterback turns the corner, he should be able to carry a team, a franchise quarterback. That should be significant. That should be right there alone. Should be four wins, minimum. Four wins, absolute minimum.
How are you going to judge it? Are you going to judge it with... games that are tight in the middle of the fourth quarter, and you got to win that game because your guy makes a couple of plays.
Eventually, that's what it comes down to with quarterbacks. You got when the chips are down, you got to make the plays. You got to be clutch. Now, I had someone talk about clutch. Someone on Twitter the other day, and I thought this was absurd. Although I wasn't derogatory with the guy, he didn't like DeSean Jackson, and he said that's probably the worst player the Bucks have had since Keyshawn Johnson. I'm like, whoa.
Do you mean worst player? Keyshawn Johnson was not a bad player. You know?
Well, this guy was talking about disruptive, et cetera, et cetera. I said, whoa, hold up. I said, Keyshawn was a good teammate. He just didn't get along with Gruden. Keyshawn was clutch. He made a clutch, a couple clutch catches in the Super Bowl. Made a couple clutch catches against the Eagles in the NFC Championship.
He did.
One was a touchdown.
He
made clutch catches. There's nothing clutch about DeSean Jackson. Keyshawn was a good player, a good teammate, just didn't get along with Chuck. That was
you're not saying Jackson's going to be a stiff in Philly. he might bounce back a little bit.
He might. If you take the guy's name away and just look at strict, boring, black and white numbers, he hasn't been a major contributor in a long time. 4 or 5 years.
Boy, he wasn't a good fit in Tampa. He just wasn't a good fit.
Not at all. And I can't remember last time a player, and I don't even know, and this is saying something. I don't even know you could say this about Terrell Owens. When is the last time you've seen a guy try to torpedo a quarterback the way DeSean Jackson did? Now, I came across something. I can't say it on the record. One of these days, I'll tell you. I heard something at the Combine, and it comes from someone who...
It raised the hair on the back of your neck.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It was about DeSean Jackson and what he tried to do to Jameis. This is unbelievable. I mean, I know Terrell Owens didn't like Garcia in San Francisco. I don't know if he went to this extent to try to ruin his career.
That's quite a little carrot you're hanging over our podcast listeners over there at the Kemper. When's the statute of limitations gonna end on that, my friend?
Probably until this guy who told me this is unemployed. Because he looked at me right in the eye and goes, this is off the record? I said, absolutely. Then he told me this and my mouth dropped.
Fair enough.
Borderline sinister, this guy was trying to get rid of Jameis. He tried every way you could think of get rid of Jameis. Whether it be a light, whether it be a cutter, other ways that I can't speak about right now. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
By the way, we'll let Isbitz talk about this more in the upcoming podcast, but I'm already looking forward to the draft party. You, of course, will be at one buck at your usual perch, hanging around with all your buddies.
Speaking of narcissism.
In the media lounge. I'm not sure anybody's going to say hello to you that night.
Probably not, and I don't give a damn.
But last year, Brooks showed up, and I think he's coming again.
And Miko and Bryn Grimes showed up.
I don't believe they're going to come.
Probably not.
By the way, I think it's a fait accompli that the guy is retired. He hasn't announced it.
No, he hasn't announced it, nor has Miko.
He hasn't announced it.
No, he hasn't, but you don't hear anything about he's being brought in for an interview or a workout.
I think he sabotaged any hopes with some of his comments, you know.
I'm torn here, but I gotta be up front. I always got along with Miko. I like Miko. I don't agree with everything she says. Gosh, but I don't care about someone's political views. That's what America's about. You have your own views. Does some of the stuff that she says and does that a little distasteful for me? Yeah, but that's not my life. Brent has always treated me great. He's always been good with me. So I have no axe to grind with Brent. But what he said on Miko's podcast, that for him, that was not good.
Yes.
As far as getting another job. If he already said, I'm retired, so I'm spilling the beans, so what? But you know what? The more I hear, and maybe this is unethical, for lack of a better term, but the farther away we are from the last regime, the more stuff I'm hearing, and none of it's good. I've heard some people say that certain coaches played favorites with players. What we know is it's not a shock. You know, and DeSean Jackson, after pulling these stunts, was named captain. Are you kidding me? You know, I don't know if some of that's sour grapes. I don't know how accurate that is. That's almost to be expected. When you have a coaching change hire, you know this better than I. After a few months, you're starting to hear whispers of dissent in the locker room. Hopefully that's behind us. And I get along with Dirk. And like I said, I briefly talked to him at the Combine. He was really cool with me. Oh, speaking of which, I don't think we've ever discussed this on a podcast. Has Todd Monken fallen into the perfect spot?
Yes.
Holy cow. If the Browns do anything next year, I think he's a head coach in 2020. I really do.
On paper, the Browns are a team with a lot of sizzle. Yeah. Sometimes those teams fall on their ass. They could go from 8-7-1 to 5-11.
Hello, Tampa Bay.
Yes.
Went from 9-7 to 5-11.
But they've made some nice moves. They got a core of young talent. You like the quarterback, as do I. Mm-hmm. Lee, I'm going to wrap up this riveting podcast, and I'm going to turn it back to Mr. Rich McKay, president of the Falcons. Again, meeting with the competition committee. If you're listening to this, Rich, that means you just got off the golf course. At Naples Country Golf and Country Club. But I'm going to issue a challenge. Fans are begging for some solutions to this referee problem, this officials issue. And by that I mean, Lee, it's not good for anybody after the biggest games in your sport that people are talking about the officials. That's the first thing they're talking about. That's bad. It's bad. So you got to address this issue. And I have a two words of advice for McKay. It's short and it's right to the point, Lee. When it comes to enacting some new rules, don't punt. Don't punt, McKay. Get out of here, Lee.